Welcome back to The Couch, everybody. Welcome back to a special trade deadline reaction podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Max. We are going to be giving you five winners, five losers from the NBA trade deadline, and also talking about just some of the stuff that was kind of in the middle that we didn't think were winners or losers at the end of the pod. Max, we got a lot to get to today, man. How you feeling about this trade deadline?
This was probably the craziest trade deadline ever, right? I mean, it's headlined by the Luka trade, and then from there you have, you know, two, three big, very big moves in terms of De'Aaron Fox getting moved to the Spurs, Ingram to the Raptors, Butler to the Warriors, and then on a smaller scale you have moves like Kuzma to the Bucks and Hunter to the Hawks. And in years past you've had one or two of those moves, and you think like, wow, this is a crazy deadline. We had, you know, three or four, and a generational move all happened. So this has to be one of the craziest deadlines ever.
It was absolutely insane. Just Luka alone would have made this trade deadline go down in history. But then you got the Jimmy Butler stuff, De'Aaron Fox to the Spurs. You have so many all-stars changing teams, or former all-stars changing teams. It is absolutely an insane one. I think one of the craziest that has ever happened. But let's get into the winners and losers. If you want to give me your first winner.
Yeah, so my first winner for this, I think, is the Cleveland Cavaliers. This was, for me personally, the scariest move. DeAndre Hunter is exactly what they are looking for and what they needed, and he fits pretty perfectly with what they have going on in Cleveland. Also, just on a side note, he is a Celtics killer. He always goes insane against the Celtics, and they go out and make this move a night after they have a pretty tough loss to the Celtics. It feels like, to me, this move is made to basically solidify that they can come out of the East and beat the Celtics, and it's a great move. Just to reiterate what the move is exactly, it's the Cavs get DeAndre Hunter, and the Hawks get Caris LeVert, Georges Niang, and 3 second round picks and two pick swaps. So they give up a lot for Hunter, but if you look at what Hunter brings to the table in terms of compared to Caris LeVert and Georges Niang, Caris and George have been good for the Cavaliers, but Hunter is just an upgrade overall. He brings a little bit of defending, but in reality, he's having his best career so far, the best year of his career so far, and he's shooting the ball well. He brings this perimeter defense that they want to have continuation of, and he just is really a great plug-and-play player for this team, someone who can also lead a bench unit, as we've seen him do in Atlanta as a sixth man as well. I think it's a very seamless fit here, and to me, that was one of the scarier moves.
Yeah, totally agree. I also have the Cavs as a winner. And you think about that Cavs-Celtics game, right? And you think about what the Celtics game plan was. It was to kind of, you know, flex their size advantage, attack Garland, Mitchell. But you look at that Cavs roster, and they didn't have Dean Wade or Isaac Okoro in that game. And it was so clear that they just did not have anyone at that wing spot that they could just throw at Tatum or Brown in terms of length, in terms of defense. And like you said, he is having an unbelievable offensive season. He's second in six man of the year odds. He's averaging around 20 a game. So I think this is a massive upgrade in terms of like just what they needed for their roster. They needed a wing. I like Dean Wade. Isaac Okoro is kind of hit or miss, but DeAndre Hunter gives you that surefire starter at the small forward spot that they've been missing for years in that forward position. He's obviously not an elite defender by any means, but he is somebody that they didn't have in terms of his size and physical tools that, you know, you could see at least bothering a big wing in the playoffs. So I think it's a smash hit for the Cavs. Like you said, LeVert and Niang have had good seasons, but LeVert, you know, he's a ball handler. He's kind of a spark plug scorer. They don't really need that on this roster. I just think DeAndre Hunter is much more of a need for them. And then the swaps that they give up, a 26 swap, a 28 swap, they're going to be good in those years. I don't even know if those will get used. And then they give up 3 seconds. So it's a smash hit for the Cavs. Honestly, it begs the question of why are the Hawks selling DeAndre Hunter so low?
Well, it begs the question of what exactly are the Hawks doing, which is one question that we wanted to talk about, because I'm really lost here. They're selling out, and they're clearly tanking because Jalen Johnson got injured, which is all good and fine, except for the fact that they do not own their pick this year. In fact, the San Antonio Spurs, who are going to come up as an honorable mention for me for as winners, own that pick. And that means they have a legit shot at getting Cooper Flagg now to pair alongside Wemby and De'Aaron Fox and everyone else that they have. But to me, I don't see what the Hawks are doing. I think this raises a bigger question of, is Trae Young going to be movable this summer or next year? Because they're basically, seems like they're starting their rebuild early, and they're getting some draft capital. They're getting what seems to be like a weird package together alongside Trae Young, because if you're looking at who they receive, they got Terrence Mann, Bones Hyland, Niang, LeVert. They got some swaps and some picks, and it's like, are you creating a package to put together to, go out and get the next upset superstar, whether that's a Kevin Durant or whoever that may be? Or are you going to look to move on from Trae Young in the summer and sort of rebuild with what you have in terms of Richishay and Jalen Johnson and Dyson Daniels, and use those supplementary pieces that you received in this trade deadline to sort of, go out and make different moves along the lines, whether that's bringing in more picks or bringing in, adapt younger players that you can adapt to your roster? I really have no idea what Atlanta is doing here. I think they're kind of have their feet in both ends, and I'm still confused by it. Do you have any insight?
No, I think everybody's on the same page about being confused by Atlanta. Even the very smart people that are way above our pay grade and that are plugged in with the league are kind of like, I don't really get why you're sending off assets at this deadline when you don't own your pick this year. They also acquire, obviously, Terrence Mann, Bones Hyland from the Clippers and give away Bogdan Bogdanovic. I think there was some stuff going on with Bogdan. He was like away from the team for personal reasons. So I kind of get that one a little bit more, but still, you're downgrading your talent at a deadline and in a year where you don't own your first round pick. And obviously, they've been an absolute mess since Jalen Johnson went down. And they went from this really like fun, frisky kind of play-in hunting, maybe a 6 seed playoff team that could, kind of make some noise and make a name for themselves this year in the playoffs, to now Jalen Johnson goes out for the year and they are an absolute dumpster fire.
Well, you're also, I don't really get the fact that they're bringing in, they have the most twos, threes, and fours of anyone in the league, if you think about it. Like Terrence Mann, Bones Hyland, then they add that to Kobe Bufkin, Georges Niang, Caris LeVert, Zachary Richesche, Dyson Daniels, Jalen Johnson. They got so many guys that are like creators, Krejci, like all those different guys. David Roddy, they just got so many different players that are in the same kind of position and mold. And the reality is, like, if you sell off of Vic Krejci and David Roddy and replace those, and like maybe Larry Nance, and you replace those guys with guys like Terrence Mann, Bones Hyland, whatever, I see maybe that makes you better and raises your floor a little bit. But I think for them, it's really a Trae Young question. Trae Young has been really good the last few, like he's had like a couple game winners in a row the last few games, and he does play really well. It almost feels like they're sort of transitioning over to Jalen Johnson's team, but they're not yet admitting to doing that. I don't really know. I'm very interested to see what Atlanta does this summer.
I just wouldn't have given DeAndre Hunter up so fast. Like this is a guy that you
To a
drafted
rival.
and you developed and molded and was like the first couple years of his career was like, oh man, is Hunter just never really going to pan out? And then finally, at what? How old is he? Like 20, 25, 26 or something? Finally, he like pops off and has the season that you've been waiting for him to have and is one of the best bench scorers in the league. And now you trade him right away. I don't know. It's confusing what direction that they're going in.
Yeah, he's 27. For me, it's not so much that they dumped him, it's just now that they dumped him, and they
Yeah.
dumped him to a conference rival, someone that we were talking about Atlanta potentially being in the play-in, and I think they could, I very well could have been if Jalen Johnson stayed healthy. I just find this to be an interesting trade from Atlanta's point of view. Now, if you're Cleveland, you do this trade 10 times out of 10. I mean, Georges Niang, he always plays well against the Celtics and everything. He's just not nearly as athletic or as lanky as the 6'9" DeAndre Hunter, who coming out of Virginia was known to be like this defensive guy. And obviously he's not an A plus defender. He still has some lapses on that end, and there's still question marks about his defense. I don't think he ever got to the level that we expected him to get at in terms of being a 3-and-D guy, but way better catch and shoot shooter, way better, shot creator, just is an absolute microwave. And we've seen it in Atlanta this season. We can't go into any more depth in terms of how well he fits with this team.
Yeah, just up and down that Cleveland roster now. You go from an already electric offense to now adding a just explosive scorer, off-ball scorer, shooter, everything that Hunter is. It's awesome. All right, so we both had the Cavs as winners. I had the Hawks as a loser. Did you have the Hawks as a loser?
I have them. I didn't have them on this. I think for
Okay.
me, this is something where, like, I do like what they got. I like more so what they got for Bogey,
Yeah.
honestly. I do think the idea of pairing Terrence Mann up in this, Atlanta system is interesting, at least.
True.
I have more questions. I feel like it's just an ungraded right now because I want to see
Okay.
what they do this summer. To me, they have a lot more things that they need to do and that are they're probably going to do. So I held off on giving them a grade.
Yeah, fair enough. Why don't you give me your first loser then?
Okay, my first loser is the Milwaukee Bucks. I think people are going to try and argue Kuzma. He has been abysmal, and this has been his worst season by far in his career, including his rookie career, his rookie season when he was like a second round pick out of like Utah or whatever he went. He has been horrible, and I know it's hard to be good on this Wizards team. The guy waived a trade to Dallas to stay there, okay? So it wasn't that bad before. And there's things that he's doing on this basketball court that don't relate to him not being locked in or anything. It just shows that he's regressing. It's nothing to do with, his temperament, if you will. I've never seen a guy airball as much as Kuzma has been this year. It's actually nuts. There's like a 4 minute compilation of him just airballing shots. It's really bad. So they get him. They get Kevin Porter Jr., who's also one of the worst players in the NBA. You'll see him. You'll watch him. If you're just like watching your team and they play the Clippers, you'll see Kevin Porter Jr. have 11 or 12 quick points off of the bench. This guy is one of the most inefficient basketball players in the league. He's horrible. So him and Kuzma, that's who you get for Chris Middleton, giving up on your pick last year and AJ Johnson, someone who at the time when we were live reacting to the draft, we were like, this is a dumb pick. The youngest player in the draft is going to go to one of the oldest teams that actually needed someone. And this was a draft where there were good role players available, guys that could come in right away and be decent to solid role players in the NBA. And the Bucks, who needed a decent to solid role player more than anyone else, a team that's trying to make a run to the finals, they go and they draft the youngest player in the draft, someone who's going to need time to develop. And then they go and they trade him this season, the season after they draft him, for nothing. I don't get this move. And then you move on from Marjon Beauchamp in a separate move, someone who is good for them and I thought should have been getting more minutes. They do all of this and then they keep Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis and Brook Lopez, which they should not have. This was the time to trade them. The one saving grace of the Kuzma move is that potentially he could, live up to his hype. I think him at his peak is nowhere near Chris Middleton and what Chris Middleton was provided, even when Chris Middleton was injured and limited. Kuzma was not is not going to be getting there. But the one saving grace, like I mentioned, is that this brought them under the second apron, so they were able to aggregate salaries, which means if they wanted to trade for someone who was $60 million, they can trade two $30 million players to get the $60 million player instead of trading one $60 million player to get the $60 million player. So that makes it way easier for them to make trades. They now have the ability to move off of this Pat Connaughton deal, this Bobby Portis deal, this Brook Lopez deal, all that stuff. And they didn't make that move. Now, if they had moved off of those guys and brought in better assets, I would have thought better about this move, but it felt like they did this move with other moves in mind, and they just never were able to get it done. And to me, they're losers. And I think you got to be on Giannis' watch now.
Yeah, I think you definitely got to be on Giannis' watch. But real quick on Kuzma. Kuzma this year is 28.1% from three max, but just catch and shoot threes, he's 28.2%. So
You wanted me to finish that rant for so long so you could throw that in there. I saw your face. I was trying to see if I could pull it. That's so funny. That's great.
so a significant improvement there, 28.1 to
Wow.
28.2, but all jokes aside, I actually think he could be a decent fit there. Like I really do. I know that you're down on Kuzma. He's been awful this year. He's been super inefficient as a shooter, and he just doesn't play defense. But in on a winning team where they need him to play a role, I think they actually do need his size and athleticism. I think he can help them in terms of rebounding and defense. A fully locked in Kyle Kuzma, like you said, if he does, hit his ceiling, he can be a useful role player. But if the role or excuse me, if the goal is to win the championship, betting on Chris Middleton getting back to form, I think just makes so much more sense to me than downgrading your talent at that position, even if it's for a healthier, younger, more athletic player in Kuzma. The best version of Middleton is so much better than what the best version of Kyle Kuzma can be. So, yes, it got them below the second apron, but they also gave up a kind of potentially really valuable swap in
Yeah,
2028
that's
because
the other thing.
Because, like you said, if we are on Giannis' watch, if this goes super south and Giannis leaves, they could be awful in a couple years. So that could be a really valuable pick. And on top of that, they have no future assets. They have either swaps or don't own their first round picks until 2031. So this could get really ugly if it goes the wrong way. Again, there is a chance that, Kuzma has a solid season here and they have a little bit of a playoff run, and maybe they have a good summer in terms of making the moves that you wanted them to. But I think overall, I think they're just cooked.
I think I will say Jericho Sims. I know that's like a weird thing, but I do like him, and I
He's
think
at
getting
least
him in
athletic.
is something. It's something. There's way too much Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis is like extremely important to them. He's their fourth best player. He's like their third best offensive player and their fourth best overall player. To me, it feels like this was supposed to be a two move thing for them, and it ended up being a one move, and they got stuck. That's what it feels like. It feels like Portis and Connaughton were
Well,
being
it
shopped. They
feels
were
to
trying to
me
make a
like they
swing.
kind of looked at Chris Middleton, a guy who's had two ankle surgeries in the last, what, 8 months or so. And, they see sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad, but he's not really ever going to get back to that all-star form, I think. And they were kind of just like, let's move off him and let's get younger and let's get below the second apron. I mean, I think a lot of people thought that this move was really driven by them getting below the second apron and what all the second apron consequences are. But I just don't like it because I think it's if you're a team that's trying to win the championship, you shouldn't be worrying about that.
I'm glad you said that part. It's that should be in the back of your head if you're trying to win a championship. So I be on Giannis' watch. I think he's the next one, the next star to be unhappy. And
If
why should he
Kuz
be
goes in
happy?
there and absolutely sucks and like can't hit a shot and doesn't play hard on defense, I would not blame Giannis for wanting out, honestly.
Well, what if they just don't make it to the conference finals, which is very plausible. Giannis would be unhappy with that, and he should be. He's wasting his prime. He's 30.
Yeah.
He's you at that age, you're wanting to make conference finals. This is a guy that we kind of expected to have more than one ring, I think. And the way how good he's been, that's someone that you expect to really be in contention at least every year. And they've wasted at least two seasons. So if this is another lost season, and the one move you got from it is that, yeah, we traded someone that you won the championship with and we're seemingly close with. Now, I don't think they make this deal without talking to Giannis, but it's like, yeah, we dealt Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma. That was your big diamond. That's something that's going to piss me off as a Bucks fan and as Giannis.
And Middleton's got to be like one of Giannis's closest teammates too.
He's got to be, right? They won a
They
championship
won
together.
a championship together and they've been on the team for a really long time together. But all right, let's go to the winners. I guess I will give a winner now. I will give my first winner. I'll go to the Miami Heat. They acquire Davion Mitchell, Andrew Wiggins, Kyle Anderson, and a Warriors first round pick that is top 10 protected, and they obviously ship off Jimmy Butler and 2 second-round picks. So first things first, they get rid of Jimmy Butler, the cancer that he was being to their team. They can finally focus on just resetting their culture and winning games and building with this group that they have now and getting out from under this cloud of Jimmy Butler just reigning over them for this entire season, really. So they get Andrew Wiggins, and I really think that Andrew Wiggins is a super valuable role player. Wiggins is still a really good player. He's not a star. The Warriors were asking him to be something that he wasn't, which was a second star. But Wiggins can have, really big games, and he's still a very good defender. I know he never lived up to that number one pick kind of hype, but he's a really good, useful role player. And I actually think Miami has a pretty fun, decent squad now, and they actually have some decent assets going forward. Bam, Hero, Wiggins, a couple of young guys, and some picks now. So I just think the Heat did a good job getting out from under Jimmy Butler and, making the most out of that situation.
Absolutely. I have them as a winner myself. I said they got rid of Jimmy Butler for assets, which is positive because that Windhorse report where Jimmy was like, Windhorse reported Jimmy doesn't want to go anywhere except for the Suns, and he has blocked trades to multiple other trades to contending teams. That came out, and I was like, oh my God, they're going to be stuck with Jimmy Butler because the Suns, I just didn't think the Suns were going to be able to get the deal done in terms of what they had to offer and their salary situation and everything. So I was like, holy fuck, the Heat are going to be stuck with Jimmy Butler and they're going to lose him. And then the fact that they were able, later on that day to actually get him to the Warriors, like you mentioned, for all those assets that they're able to get them for. I think it's a great move for them. And honestly, this is the most Heat team of all time. You have Tyler Hero, Terry Rozier, Andrew Wiggins, Bam Adebayo, Jaime Jaquez, Duncan Robinson, Nikola Jovic, Davion Mitchell, and Haywood Highsmith. I'm leaving out guys, some guys like Alec Burks and Josh Christopher, but it's a very, oh, Khalil Ware as well. It's a very Miami Heat team. And they're not going to be good, but they're not going to be bad. Like, this team is going to be someone that I think is not a team that you want to play in the playoffs in the first round. I would think maybe you do, because there's definitely some holes in their armor, if you will. But if you're a team that's like barely clawing into the playoffs, you definitely don't want to see Miami round one. So I think good move for them, the fact that they were able to get off Jimmy Butler and start fresh and just go about and figure something out. Miami's always going to be a free agency destination. I think that might be hindered a little bit because of how Pat Riley handled this situation, but the tax incentives and the way the how beautiful it is in Miami, players are always going to want to play down there. So to me, I think this team is solid enough where, they're one big piece, or maybe you hit on a draft pick, something like that. They're something like that away from being a contender, and they got rid of, like you said, a cancer to the team. So good move for them.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Do you want to give me your next winner?
Yeah. So my next winner is the Charlotte Hornets.
All right.
This is selfish. Go Vols. I'm wearing a Tennessee hat right now. When Dalton, as a Celtics fan who went to Tennessee and who Dalton Knecht is my favorite basketball player of all time. Yes, basketball, that's what we're called. He's my favorite of all time. He dragged us to that Final Four. Fuck you, Zach Edey. The refs, you paid the refs for that stupid Purdue team. I digress. To see him get drafted to my hated Lakers on draft night, if you wanted to go back and listen to our live reactions to the draft, it actually takes me out of the draft on the pod. I was near tears when he
No,
got
you were
drafted by that
killing it
Lakers.
the whole draft. You were super excited, and then Kinect gets drafted, and you just go silent mode, and it was just a
Yeah.
solo pod for me the rest of
It started with Dillingham's trade. That broke both
the
of us. The Dillingham trade like actually broke us, and then I started coming back a little bit because there was like some fun moves, and then Dalton started dropping, and I was like, "Oh God, if he goes to the Sixers, I'm gonna be pissed off. If he goes to the Heat, I'm gonna be pissed off." God damn it, he went to the Lakers, and I literally fell apart. It was actually a bad performance for me, so my bad on that. So the fact that he's coming, one, he's leaving the Lakers, so I can root for him again. Two, he's coming to my new home team, the Charlotte Hornets. I'm gonna definitely go see him live in person and be rocking a Dalton Connect Hornets jersey for sure. So I'm very happy about that. But in reality, the Hornets got Dalton Connect, Cam Reddish, Yusuf Nurkic, and the we finally saw it moved. The good Lakers pick, the 2031 good Lakers pick, unprotected, finally gets moved. As well as a 2030 pick swap with the Lakers and a 2026 first round pick via the Suns, which is a pick that I think could be very interesting. Because who knows what the Suns look like 2 years down the line? All they had to give up on was Mark Williams, Cody Martin, Vasilije Micic, and a 2026 second round pick. So Dalton Knecht is someone that fits what they're trying to do. He is absolutely someone that I think is going to be very good in the league. There's T Grant Williams was a huge Tennessee Volunteer. Those guys have a connection being volunteers. He's closer to that area in terms of West North Carolina. That's very close to Eastern Tennessee. He is just in a good area where they're going to foster his development. It's a great area for young players to figure out how to play together and get better. I think him and Brandon Miller, I believe, no, Brandon Miller was the year before him. It doesn't matter. They have a lot of young guys in Charlotte, and I think Dalton Connect is just a really solid, high upside young piece to add to what they're doing and their development. Cam Reddish, we can argue what he's going to be. I think my hopes are gone for him now, but at this
Yeah,
point, but.
no, probably no hope left for Cam Reddish. But I also think, for the Charlotte perspective, I do like Mark Williams. We'll talk more about him later when we get to the Lakers. But it's a guy who's played 43 games in his first year, 19 games in his second year. He's played 23 games so far. So it's a guy who's super talented, but just such a massive injury concern for them. So I do get moving on for him for young assets and picks and stuff like that. Also, I think it makes them a worse basketball team right now, which is
Yeah, which is
probably
good.
good because they want to, get into that Cooper Flagg race and kind of get into that tanking direction. But let's take a quick break and then I'll come back. I'll give you a loser. All right, we're back. I'm going to give you my next loser from this trade deadline. And I'm going with the Phoenix Suns, Max. They acquire Cody Martin, Vasa Micic, and a second rounder. They lose finally Yusuf Nurkic and a 2026 first rounder. But I just think, Nick Richards was kind of their idea of addressing the center position this trade deadline. That trade was, before a while ago. He's played his fair share of games now, but he got played off the floor the other night against the Blazers. Like, they just clearly have such a massive problem at center, and with their defense overall. You were really looking for them to either make some moves with improving this team and getting good defenders in there, getting good big men in there, or we had this whole KD drama starting to unfold, and it seems like it got really, really close to them actually moving on from KD and kind of resetting and being able to build around Booker with hopefully what you would hope would be young assets around Booker and just punting on this whole KD Booker Beal era. But the trade falls through. It sounds to me like there was a deal in place for him to go back to Golden State, and Kevin Durant said no. And now, like, it got that close. There were that many rumors. I can't imagine what that locker room must have been like during that time. And now everyone's just going to go on and pretend like that didn't happen, and they're going to go try and make a playoff run. I just think the vibes alone are going to, like, just be so off, more off than they were even before. And they've been terrible all season because this team just can't defend and can't string together enough wins. So I think I mean, the Beal move kind of crushed them, and bringing in Nurkic and relying on Nurkic and Plumlee to be your centers and the anchors of your defense. Like, that was never going to work. I was high on the Tyus Jones move. Maybe I was wrong, because it seems like they really just needed more defense over a guy like Tyus, who, again, it can't really defend. So, the KD drama, I think, will take a toll. And overall, this roster is just so bad. They have no chance of winning the championship, and they didn't get anything for all that KD drama.
It was, I think we knew how ugly it could get, or it was becoming in Phoenix. But this trade deadline, it got exposed how ugly it was. And I think it is, I was trying to think of teams I would not want to be for the next few years. I think for me, it's like Phoenix is very high up there. I don't know what other teams there are, but Phoenix is definitely one that's a good, like a relatively solid team now, but is they're in hell. I mean, that trade for Kevin Durant, they gave up so many of their future assets, and clearly it's not working out because they just couldn't build a team around Booker and KD and Beal. And Beal is by far the worst contract in the NBA for the simple reason that he has a no trade clause. So if they didn't have a no trade clause on him, they could have moved him and they could have, figured something out, but he had a no trade clause and they couldn't get anything out of him. And because of that, they're fucked. I don't know what they do. If I'm Booker, there's no way in hell I'm staying. I'm getting the fuck out of here at some point. Like, I got to, because this is just getting ridiculous at this point with what Phoenix has going on. And great, you got rid of Nurkic. Now what? Like, he was clearly a cancer to the team, but they're in hell, man. They have no moves that they can make. And the fact that they tried to move off of KD and that it seemed like he was a name to watch is scary. I don't know. I think now, if you're looking at the new stars on trade watch, it's Giannis, Booker, and KD. So that's a very interesting group of guys that could potentially be moved here. But I had Phoenix as a loser as well. I don't know what even to say because it's all out. Like, everyone knows how bad they are now, and they're stuck with what they have, and it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Cody Martin can come in there and just play
Yeah,
backup
right.
center and be the small ball five that they
Six
need.
eight center. Nice.
All right,
Nice.
you want to give me a loser?
Yeah, so the Bulls are the dumbest team in the NBA. We talked about them a little bit, and I think we were too nice. Because I like went back and or I learned more about the actual trade, and holy fuck, dude, they got one first rounder back, and it was theirs. That's the first
Their
rounder they got
own.
back. It's their own first for Zach LaVine, and they essentially traded DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine for a grand total of one first round pick. Oh, man. They get one first round pick, it's theirs. They also somehow managed to keep Vucevic and not move him. I don't get
That was
that
the
in it.
most inexcusable part to me, is you trade Levine finally. You've been trying to trade him for years, but then you keep Vucevic.
Keep Lonzo. You sign him to an extension.
I
What are
like
we
Lonzo.
doing? I like Lonzo too. Not on that fucking team. Get rid of him. Give him somewhere good. Like, teams would have wanted him. You could have gotten an asset out of that. Lonzo's a win now player. Why are you trying to get him for development? He's 27, has an injury history. He belongs on win now teams. To me, the most inexcusable thing is that they have 5 point guards on their team right now, and they're going to throw out a starting lineup of Kobe White, Josh Giddey, Ayo Dosunmu, Lonzo Ball, and Nikola Vucevic. That's a 4 point guard
There's
starting
no way
lineup.
they can send that out as the starters.
That's
There's no way.
apparently that's what the that's what their depth chart says is their starting lineup right now. And then you add obviously Trey Jones to that, and they have a wonderful 5 point guards on their fucking
You go.
team. For teams that there are teams out there that need point guards, so they could have moved any one of those guys. Like Kobe White is someone that would have fetched something. That he would have. He would have been. There would have been teams that would have been looking to get him. Lonzo, I will die by the fact, live and die by the fact that he is a bit like people would have wanted him on their basketball team, 100%.
Well, Vooch,
And
I
same
don't
thing with
know.
Vucevic.
I don't understand. Like, what were the trade talks with Vooch like? Like, someone offered a couple seconds, or somebody offered a first, and the Bulls were like, "Nah, I don't. That's not enough." Like,
No,
what do
we
you
need a
mean?
point guard. We need a point
Literally,
guard.
you should literally get rid
If
of
it's
Vooch
not our own
for
pick,
anything that you can.
or a point guard, I'm not making that move. I need to somehow get my own pick, and
Is
I need two of
DeMar
my
DeRozan
own
on the
picks
table?
back. Yeah. Can we get DeMar and Zach LaVine back in the building? I think that's really what we want to do here. So, I mean, I feel bad for Bulls fans, man. The NBA is more fun when they're good, and I don't see like the NBA, if the Pelicans or the Bulls get the first pick, they gotta fix that so it doesn't
Adam
happen.
Silver
Because
has to step in.
yeah, these teams don't deserve that with the way that they manage their teams. It's like we knew you guys were bad for the last 4 years. You guys didn't know it, and then you waited way too long to sell, and you sold low on everybody. It's just a masterclass in how to fuck up team management. Seriously, so they're a loser for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree with
After all
that. I
that.
didn't have him as my loser, but that you made a great case for it. I'll give you a winner now, back to the positive side. And it's the obvious one. I'll go to the
Yeah.
Lakers. Obviously they make the Luka deal, but and we talked about it, did a whole emergency pod on it, but they made the Mark Williams deal as well. So let's talk a little bit about Mark Williams. He's a freak athlete at 7 foot something, 250 something pounds. He doesn't really play defense, or he hasn't really played defense for Charlotte, but he's just hasn't been locked in. Like, he hasn't been on a winning team. He hasn't been
It's also
asked
been
to
hurt.
do a whole lot. And yeah, and he's been hurt, but he has the physical tools to be a pretty good rim protector. But the real thing with him is the offensive end and the fit that you can see with he, LeBron, and Luka. Obviously, Luka talked about, playing his best years with a vertical lob threat like Derek Lively. And now you bring Mark Williams in to kind of play that similar role alongside Luka. I just think this team is going to be so big. They're going to be so hard to stop on offense with the pick and rolls that you're going to see with Luka and Mark Williams, all the lobs. It's just, I think it's a really good fit for the Lakers. And of course, trading Anthony Davis, they did need a center and they needed some sort of defender and at that position. And hopefully Mark Williams can turn himself into that. I also think DFS and Vando on this team have already changed this defense. I think this defense is already far better than it was earlier in the season. And a rejuvenated LeBron now, I think, might be the biggest win for the Lakers at this trade deadline. Because obviously, during the season, we saw LeBron just taking stretches of games completely off on the defensive end and literally took an 8-day hiatus to get away from the game because I think he was just that uninterested and had just completely lost his love and his motivation for the game. And now you bring in Luka, all of a sudden LeBron is like playing defense, he's locked in, he's whipping skip passes all everywhere, scoring 40 points. And now you bring in Mark Williams. Like, I just think you have reinstilled the belief in LeBron that this team can actually win the championship. And if you have that rejuvenated LeBron, maybe you actually can win the championship. So I think this Lakers team is a massive winner at this deadline for obvious reasons, but also I did like the Mark Williams move as well.
Yeah, I think they overpaid for him, but it felt like their options dried up there at the end, and they just kind of had to overpay for someone. And at this point, I'm all right with doing that. You guys are going to be good into 2031 with Luka now. Like, they're going to be
Right.
good forever. And if they are bad, the league will just gift them a star. So at this point, I don't really care about draft picks for them because it doesn't matter. They can fuck up their entire team and just get bailed out. So it doesn't really matter on that front. Mark Williams is a good fit. High upside wise, he has it's a little bit worrisome that he has played like 50% of his games. I just want to keep that of note because he does have the body type for cough and Embiid-itis, where it's just you're always going to be injured. So hopefully he locks in, because he was not locked in Charlotte, and I think it's hard to be locked in Charlotte, but he wasn't someone that played hard defense or someone that seemed like maybe took the best care of his body. So maybe him and Luka can go and take care of their bodies together in LA. I think, like I said, it's an overpay. You can almost argue that they paid more for Mark Williams than Luka.
In terms of draft capital, they did, right?
Seriously. But it's totally worth it because like you couldn't just have Jackson Hayes as your starting center. You
No.
had to get someone in the building. So, yeah, I think it
Right.
was a great move
It
there.
is definitely a risk, like you said, with the health, and that's why I understand from Charlotte's perspective giving up on him. But if you're the Lakers and you now have Luka on your team, now you have Luka, LeBron, you made
And
the
a lob threat.
DFS move, your defense looks a lot better, and it's like, all right, we gotta give ourselves a chance. And I think this move gives them a chance at their
Absolutely.
ceiling. So obviously it could go wrong and Mark could get hurt and miss the playoffs, and they would have Jackson Hayes as their starting center. But also, like, dude, their small ball lineups, I'm telling you, their small ball, it has actually been working with a locked in LeBron, who is still a very good defender and athlete when he wants to be.
Well,
I
watch
just
the
think,
buyout.
oh, the buyout too, yeah.
Yeah, like Daniel Tice is someone to me. It's just like you should be going after him. They're gonna be a destination. It's LA, it's a big media, it's a big market, and you have Luka and LeBron. Like, why would you not want to go there?
Oh my God, I would be so hyped to be a buyout guy to go to LA.
Yeah.
All right, why don't you give me your next winner?
Okay, next winner. I had the Lakers on there as well. We'll talk about the Warriors here. I like that they made this move. I like that they made this move without getting rid of some of their other guys that could be trade assets, like Kuminga or Moody.
Right.
They did it to get rid of Wiggins, and that's fine for me. Taking a flyer on Butler, someone who I think is going to fit well in this situation, is going to be on his best behavior because of what he just pulled in Miami. I think you're going to get a really good version of Jimmy Butler. And we saw in the beginning of the season, playing 13 or 14 guys was good. Now it's not so good as you go later in the season. Like, you need to condense your lineup, and that's exactly what they did. And I think it was just a solid move for them. And I think Butler is worth taking a risk on. And the fact that they immediately signed a 2 years, literally 15 minutes after they get him into the building, they signed like a two he gets a 2 year extension. That's not tampering, you know. That's not a tampering. Five, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. They agree on a
Work that one
contract
out.
extension. Yeah, it's just ridiculous what they pick and choose, who the NBA picks and chooses to look at for tampering. But I digress. The Warriors, yeah, this is a move that I would make 100%, and I think they got to be a winner after this one. I would have maybe liked to see if they could have gotten Vooch in the building or something, but he's not a good defender at all. So I like what they did. I think this is good, and I have them as a winner.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of less locked in fans that are crushing this move, that are like, why are you trading for Jimmy Butler after that whole fiasco? And I understand it. Like, I did just call him a cancer to the Miami Heat a couple minutes ago, which he was, but he won't be a cancer on this team. I can
No.
guarantee it for at least this season and this playoff run. And to me, as long as you have Steph Curry on your team, you should be doing everything you can to win a championship. And the Warriors, I think they have really good role players. I think Draymond is still a really useful role player. Looney off the bench has been good. They have Buddy Hield who can give them big games. Gary Payton's a good role player. The emergence of like Quentin Post and Gui Santos, they're giving them good minutes. Pajemski's starting to play better. So it's just like they have all this role player depth, and then they have Steph Curry who's completely alone on the offensive end, and they've just been so desperate for a second scorer and a second star, and so they bring him in. And I think that's totally fair, especially with what they gave up. The only future asset that they gave up was that first round pick, which is top 10 protected. So even if things go totally south, they're still going to be able to keep that if it's a top 10 pick, which I don't think it will be, because I think they're going to be pretty good. I just think Jimmy completely changes what this Warriors team looks like. And honestly, if you've watched the Warriors on a good night, if the Warriors get anybody other than Steph, whether it's been Wiggins or Hield or Kuminga, any of these role guys to have like 23 to 25 points, they look like a damn good team. Like they are really, really hard to stop when anyone other than Steph can score. So I just think now you bring in Jimmy, you give him that role. He's still a really high level defender. And this is a top 10 defense in Golden State already without him. I think it gets even better. So I'm not saying they're going to go win the championship or anything, but I think that you could see like, you can see a world where everything goes right for them. They can make a run, and then you have it in your head that anything can happen.
Absolutely. I absolutely see that as well. I think, yeah, like I said, it was worth taking a flyer on Jimmy, at this lower asking price because of what he did to this Miami Heat team.
All right, I will give you my next winner, and I'm going to talk about the Sacramento Kings. So it seemed like there was some stuff going on behind the scenes with Fox that didn't get super out of the building or a ton of coverage from reporting, but it seemed like they just knew that he wasn't going to re-sign. I don't think Fox ever went to them and said, "Hey, I want to be traded." I think the organization kind of got word that was like, "Yeah, Fox probably isn't going to re-sign and he's going to leave in free agency." And so they made the move and they go out and get a haul for him. I really like the return that they got back if you were going to trade De'Aaron Fox. I think so. Obviously, they get Zach LaVine back. They get protected first from the Hornets. They get a first from the Spurs. They get a first from the T-Wolves, and then 3 seconds. They also get Sidy Cissoko. I like Zach LaVine. I think this team is going to be fun this year. I think they're going to be very similar to what this team was with De'Aaron Fox. I just think the fit with LaVine makes a lot of sense as a pick and roll partner with Sabonis, as a good off ball player when DeRozan's handling the ball, when Monk's handling the ball, as a really good transition weapon for them who can, it's a team that likes to play with pace. I think LaVine fits right into that. But I also think it kind of gives them options now with all this draft capital they got and getting LaVine that they can either make the decision to punt on this group and reset and use this capital to build for the future, or they could go the other direction and maybe try and make a package deal with these picks. Maybe you send away one of these star players and go and try and get a superstar and try and be a contender again. Like I just think they have given themselves a lot of flexibility with which direction they can choose. I still think they do need to choose a direction because right now they are one of those middling teams that we always talk about. But I do think that this trade deadline and this package for Fox was a really good haul.
I think when people see this trade, they're like, "Oh my God, this is just what Chicago did because it's LaVine and it's
DeRozan.
LaVine and DeRozan again." But that's wrong. They Vucevic and Sabonis are not the same. Sabonis is miles better than Vucevic.
Malik
So,
Monk is also really good. Keon Ellis is good. The Kings have
absolutely.
legit pieces.
Absolutely. And Keegan Murray's good. Like
Yes.
they have a good core in place, and I think this was a really actually the when I sat back and thought about it, I actually liked this move a lot more for the Kings. Selling high on De'Aaron when he did them the courtesy of telling him he wasn't going to re-sign. I think it was smart, and I like the move. I mean, I don't have much more to add on to what you said other than I think if you're thinking that this is just a rerun of what Chicago did, you should adjust your thinking because it's not.
Yeah, well, what do you think about which direction they should go? I mean, is there a chance that maybe they package, say, Sabonis and Keon Ellis or maybe Keegan Murray and a couple of these picks and try and go out and get a real superstar? Because I really think that is, if they really wanted to do that, if there was an unhappy superstar available at some point, I think that could be a potential option for them. Me personally, if I'm the Kings, I think I'm going fire sale as soon as I can. Maybe it's this summer, maybe it's next trade deadline, and I'm resetting for the future.
I don't think they're going to do the Sabonis trade for one simple thing, and they just brought in Valanciunas, and it was a head scratching move at the time because I was like, they don't really fit well together. And then I realized they're both Lithuanian and they
Yeah.
played on Team Lithuania together, and they're like really good friends. So clearly, that was a move to make Sabonis happy and keep him in Sacramento. And I think if you're reading the tea leaves there, it's like, all right, well, let's keep Sabonis or try to keep him happy. That's what I think that move was. I have a question for you. Ben Simmons just got bought out.
Yeah.
For me, I think my favorite team for Ben Simmons is the Sacramento Kings. What do you think about
Wow,
that?
that's interesting. I was thinking about him for the Celtics, just like a guy
No,
that we
he
could
doesn't shoot.
play. I know, but we play these two big lineups with Luke Kornet and Porzingis, and I'm like, what if you just put Ben Simmons in for Kornet? Could that be fun? Could that like we are
Kornet
last.
literally shoots better than
Well,
Kornet
no, neither
actually
of
is a
them
better
shoot
offensive
threes.
player.
It doesn't like I don't think that's a real difference at all because neither of them shoot at all. But I just think the Celtics are last in pace, dead last, last in fast break points too. And I think it'd be fun to have Ben Simmons. And remember when we brought in Blake Griffin?
Yeah, it's not the same.
I think it is the same. I think it's
No, dude,
exactly the
Blake
same because
Griffin was
Blake
well
came in.
liked.
Blake gave us literally like maybe 8 minutes in a playoff game where he played well, and then he didn't play the rest of the way, and we never played him again. And I think Simmons, I honestly think it's worth taking a flyer on Simmons for the Celts. And you don't have to play him because he is a buyout guy. You could sign him for nothing.
Yeah, noted beloved locker room guy Ben Simmons. Let's be real here. What are we doing? What are we doing? Ben Simmons is not a locker room
Okay.
guy. The chemistry alone, that's
He's
not
not
worth it
Blake
doing.
Griffin as a locker room guy, but he's not going to
No, very
destroy
few
our
people are
team
Blake Griffin.
chemistry.
I'm not doing that. Clearly, the Celtics are going through a little bit of a rough patch. I'm not going to bring in the guy that the king of rough patches in Ben Simmons.
You just said
I
you like
disagree
him
with
on
that
the
move.
Kings.
Yeah, because he actually makes sense from a they don't have a point guard and they could play a really big lineup with Ben Simmons as the point. Think about that.
I don't know.
Even moving Sabonis to the four, Valanciunas at the five, and you
Either
have
way,
Ben
we're talking
Simmons.
about Ben Simmons as a positive, as a buyout guy. Like, I think that's
Yeah.
fair.
So the
So.
two teams I have him for, I think, are Sacramento and Cleveland.
Okay.
And for Cleveland, it's literally just being a wing defender and acting as like this facilitation guy for Garland and Mitchell. And it's like sometimes you see one or the other go off. Maybe Ben Simmons can be this facilitator to help them both go off while also getting rid of their defensive lapses because he is such a good defender. And so those are the two teams I have. I don't know what you think about that one.
No, I think for Cleveland, it probably makes more sense to me because they do desperately need wing defense, and maybe Simmons, like I said, could just give them like a game in the playoffs where he plays really well. So, yeah, it could be interesting. I don't know. I don't know where he goes, but it's interesting that we've gone all the way from like all-star, all-NBA Ben Simmons, maybe the next big thing, then to the collapse and then completely tanking his value, then to this guy who just doesn't play basketball. Now he's a buyout guy, and we're like, oh, maybe someone could get Ben Simmons. It's just
Yeah.
funny. All right.
All right. I think it's my turn to give you a loser here. And
Yeah.
for me, I think the big one is I have these two teams together. So I'm just going to put them together. And it's the Magic and the Nuggets. To me, both of these teams could have made fringe moves. I'm not asking for a big move here, but both of these teams could have made fringe moves to really level them up. In terms of the Nuggets, I think they're right there being contenders because obviously they have Nikola Jokic and everybody. But someone that they could make like a fringe move, someone that they could bring in could really be the thing that puts them over the top. Like they just need a better role player to come in and be a better bench guy for them. And
They need a
those
backup
guys,
center. They
yeah, they need a backup
they've had
center.
DeAndre Jordan as the backup center forever, and it's never worked, and he's been old for years.
So
And
if JoVal was 2 seconds, like
yes,
how are you not
why
making that
not?
move? I
Yeah.
just don't get. I wish they did. I wish they made some moves. Now they might make like a move on the buyout. Like I think a Reggie Jackson return or a Daniel Tice coming in is like two things that I would like to see happen. I don't know. But for me, Denver just was, re they're really close to like just being they're already a solid team, but just going up a level. And they could have done that with this move because, or this trade deadline, because so many different guys that are just like role players or like average guys were getting moved around. They could have gotten in on that. And I just wish they did. And then same thing with the Magic. They're like last in offense. They're a terrible offensive team. There were so many offense. Like, how come? All right, Bogdanovich is hard because that was a big package that they got for him. But why couldn't you get Cam Johnson? My guess is that Brooklyn was asking for too much. But like, why couldn't you get Cam Johnson? Why couldn't you try and get Terrence Mann in building and make that a three-way deal? Like, why couldn't you have just put your nose in and gotten some
Kobe
offensive
White.
players? Kobe White, like he's someone that I feel like you could have gone after. I don't know. I
Schroeder
feel like
was
they
on the
missed the
move
boat.
too. I
Yeah.
wouldn't have minded Schroeder on this team. I do
Yeah.
want to. I looked this up. I wanted to see Jeff Weltman, the president of basketball ops for the Magic, did a whole sit down, and he said, first thing about the deadline is when you're struggling as a team entering the deadline, you kind of know you're going to get squeezed. We felt some of the deals would have been burning long-term assets like first-round picks for kind of short-term solutions where we slap a Band-Aid on the problem and maybe that player isn't with us in the year. And so we elected to sit tight. I paraphrased that quote just like I did back in IB English back in high school. Nailed it. Did the ellipses
Nice.
and stuff too perfectly.
Probably IB English one though. Probably SL, honestly. That's a
Yeah, that's right. I never
that's
made
a
it
Bedford-centric
to
joke that
English too.
1% of our listeners are gonna get.
Yeah, but I kind of understand it from their perspective. Like the Nuggets, I understand your anger with them because they're a team that is completely all in
Well,
and
they're
a
cheap. They're cheap. Their owners are cheap, and they're never
yeah.
willing to spend the extra money to make this team, above what they are. And that's just what it comes down to.
Right, but they're
And it's
also
offensive.
they're a championship or bust team this year, and I don't feel that way about the Magic because the Magic are so young and they're still building for the future. And I do get that, like, if teams are asking for all these first round picks and these young assets, like maybe you're like, ah, that's just too much right now. Like, I don't feel the need to panic and go make some move that burns my future assets. So I get it from the Magic's perspective. Obviously, we're not in those conversations, and we don't know what was offered. I also think it's an interesting thing that like. The Magic have been so struggling lately. Like, since, let's say, if Paolo came back and played awesome right away and the Magic had won like 8 of their last 10 games, I think maybe they would have seen a move because I've never thought about it this way. But if you're really struggling before the deadline, the other teams are going to be asking for more. They're just going to try and squeeze
Yeah.
you, just like Weltman said. I just thought that was an interesting perspective.
I'm glad you read that because I didn't see that. And I genuinely feel like 100% better about what that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I hope that means they make moves in the offseason. Now,
Yeah.
if it means they sit tight in the offseason, I don't like it. But if they make moves to bring guys in the free agency and they go hard in free agency or go hard in making trades to bring guys in for a long-term situation, I feel a lot better now that I read that quote. So that's a good quote.
Yeah, also they are like there are real concerns there with why they are struggling. I'm mostly chalking it up to the fact that Paolo is just coming back off this oblique
Yeah.
injury and doesn't look like himself.
Same
He's
with Franz.
just been really bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I will give you my last loser. It is the Mavs. Obviously, we've covered them
Yeah.
a lot. They traded away a 25-year-old superstar, top three player in the league, blah blah blah. You get it. They also traded Grimes. They traded
Don't
Quentin
get it.
Grimes
I don't get it.
and a second rounder for Caleb Martin and a second rounder. I didn't understand this. Grimes is 24 years old and arguably the better player right now. I guess you could say the positional value with Caleb Martin because
It was
the
money,
Mavs
Jordan.
already have shooting guard spots. Like they have a lot of guards that can play the Grimes spot, but I thought Grimes was going to be really important for them this year, like in a playoff run and potentially starting. I like Caleb Martin. I just think it's a weird one when you're getting the guy who's 5 years older and
And
maybe not
worse.
even, yeah, like he's not even as good as Grimes in my opinion. So it's just another thing that's like Nico is clearly not worried about the future at all. He literally said like he thought about the future as the next 3 to 4 years. That's not how the
Yeah.
future works.
He's
That's not
cheap.
future.
Jordan, he's cheap. He doesn't want to pay this. He doesn't want to pay this team. That's what it is. Grimes would have been eligible for a contract extension. They got the older, cheaper, and worse player in Martin. And that's what it is. And they attach
But that
picks.
doesn't make
I
sense if you're
don't.
trying to go. I don't know.
It
It,
doesn't
like.
make sense. No, you were talking about the guy that traded Luka in the middle of the night without shopping it. You think this is like you're talking about an insane person. You
That's
walk down,
true.
you see a homeless guy scribbling nonsense in the on the t on the side of the road, and you're like, "Huh, that's weird that that doesn't make sense." It's like, yeah, he's an insane person.
Yeah,
That's
you don't
what
have to
happens.
overanalyze it. Like, yeah,
You don't
that's
have to.
what a
Yeah,
fucking does.
it's what that is. Oh, he just said he did an insane thing. That's what an insane person does. I don't. It's not shocking that he made a fucking insane move. The conspiracy levels, like I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I see how they fucking push you into this because it's like, are you really trying to dismantle this Mavericks team and get them to sell it? Like, if you look back, like all the way the ownership, they're from gambling money, okay? So they own casinos, they got gambling, all that shit. They come in, they own this Mavericks team, and guess what? Dallas doesn't have gambling sports betting legal yet, and it seems like they might not ever have sports betting to be legal yet. So to me, it's like, what if they do this and then Dallas gets to move to Vegas and then they fucking go nuts. Like it's all this crazy shit. It's like, why don't we just dismantle this fan base and this team, make everybody hate it, make people go out and beg for us to move the team, and then we just move it to Vegas and the rich get richer. Just putting that out there.
I
Now
just
I'm the
love that
insane person.
conspiracy. I love it so much. I think it makes sense.
Yes. Okay. I'm just gonna do a little rapid speed run here. Clippers are a winner for me. They condensed a horrible Kevin Porter Jr. and Bones Highland, who I was fucking right about. Fuck you guys. I got so much shit 5 years ago posting a TikTok about Bones Highland and seems like he's on his third team. And then they traded a solid guy and man, but they got Bogey, who's just overall better, fits what they're doing. It was just a really good condensed trade. I like that move. Honorable mentions. I love what the Celtics did. I hate that they got rid of Jaden Springer, but they needed to because the guy can't shoot. Unfortunate. But that's just the way it is. Go Vols, though. And then they got in Torrey Craig, who is a legit, very good perimeter defender, but he's also shooting 42.9%, which is over double what Kyle Kuzma is shooting from three this year.
It's
And
not
he
over
has
double. Bad math.
21, 28. Oh, he's at 28. My bad.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I thought he was at 21. My apologies. A little under double what Kyle Kuzma is shooting this year. And then he is also like shooting 35% from his career. He shot like 39% last year. So these 2 years, he's been shooting good from three. He's exactly what they needed. I actually think he could take some Sam Hauser minutes. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
Love
Hauser's
that
been
move.
tough. I
Yeah.
think Craig is a great move, just to chime in. Sorry.
Absolutely. No problem. And then honorable mention here, the Pelicans, they might move. They should. They should move the team. Clearly, they need to move off of Zion. They held on to their players too late, and they got just really tough returns for them. The haul for AD is completely gone now. They have Lonzo, Ingram, Josh Hart, and picks. All those guys are gone. The team is just a mismatch of really solid players, but I don't know what their long-term guys are, and I just this organization is fucked. Which brings us to the Brandon Ingram trade. I don't know what this trade is. I think the Raptors, the idea of bringing in someone for very little is a good idea. Like, okay, you take a flyer on Brandon Ingram, who's a high upside guy. He kind of makes this team weird, whatever. Danny Chow at The Ringer just tweeted, "This is the fourth trade deadline in a row in which the Raptors have traded a first rounder to acquire a player about to hit free agency. They did it for Thad Young, Jakob Poeltl, Kelly Olynyk, and Brandon Ingram." So my God, what the fuck are the Raptors doing? Like, you're
Yeah,
trading your first round pick for that?
I didn't get this one. Why are we giving up first rounders? We're the Raptors. We're not good. I don't get it. They won six out of their last nine games. They're like, oh, we need a shooting all-star forward. We need this. We're gonna win a
Yeah.
championship.
I don't get it. So, just a head scratching move. Maybe if they can get him to sign long term, I'll feel better about that. But I just put them as an honorable mention loser because I just think that was a really weird move. My final loser is the Mavericks for everything we talked about. And then I had one final question for you, which is, what exactly was Memphis doing? They traded Smart to the Wizards, and then so the trade was Marcus Smart to the Wizards, Colby Jones to the Wizards via the Kings, Alex Len via the Kings to the Wizards. Then they gave up their first round pick this year to the Wizards. So they attached Smart and a pick to bring in 2 seconds, Marvin Bagley and Johnny Davis. And they also gave up Jake Laravia. So that
Yeah,
was
I
a
think
big haul.
the Laravia thing, I think, was they didn't want to pay him or something. It was something weird with
Yeah. So they
Laravia.
declined. So with Laravia, they declined his
Player option.
not that, but it's like his extension option as a drafted guy, and then he played crazy, like he just played really well. So now he's owed like a good amount of money. I guess they don't want to pay him. I don't know. What I thought happened is that they were trying to make a last minute run for Kevin Durant. I think they're trying to get a package together, getting in more seconds and stuff like that, to make that work. But to me, it's like, wouldn't that first round pick be more valuable? I'm not necessarily sure. I think they were trying to make a last minute run, and then Bob Myers, like, I think he let that slip that either the Grizzlies or the Warriors were trying to make a run at the end of the clock for KD or whatever. So it was either they were either trying to make a run for KD or Cam Johnson, I think, and it just fell through. So
Poor
that was my
Marcus
final
Smart,
thoughts.
man.
Yeah, it
I want to
sucks.
waste away in Washington now.
Well, he can hang out with Brogdon and Chris Middleton, so that's nice.
It's just got to be so tough to be
Yeah, it
Marcus
sucks.
Smart, to get traded, watch the team win a championship, get hurt, and then you're on
Yeah.
like this really fun Memphis team that you can't even contribute to, and now you get traded to Washington. That's a tough series of events for our boy Marcus.
Our buddy
One.
Zwick mentioned buying him out and bringing him back on the Celtics. Please, God, no.
Why? Do it.
I
Dude.
love Marcus Smart.
You're not understanding that buyout guys, if they don't work out, it doesn't matter. Like, you can just do it and then not play them.
Wait, so it went super well when Marcus Smart was in the locker room with Joe Mazzulla, right? When he was, they those guys like didn't butt heads at all,
Smart
right?
is the ultimate teammate. Everybody on that team loves him. He would be the ultimate locker room guy. I don't know
I don't
what
know
the
about
problem
that.
would be there.
I love Marcus Smart. I love what he did for Boston. I think it would be a mistake to bring him into this team. That's all. Dude,
Okay.
in Memphis, he is sitting next to the coach. He's basically an assistant coach because he never plays. He's always injured. And he is talking. He's vocal. He's up there, blah, blah, blah. That
That's great. He
clear.
can be
There was an
Udonis
issue with
Haslem.
that. No, there was an issue with that. That's why they got rid of him. There was an issue with that. Like, it came out. Like, when they were talking about
They
after
got
the
rid of
trade, they
him
were
because
like,
they got fucking Porzingis, dude.
that was an aspect of it, but they also need to move off of it because the original trade. well, it was Brogdon, but they had talks, like discussions about this, where he was affecting the coaching. And he, how many last minute shots did he take from Jaylen and Tatum?
Okay, we're not getting into the last minute shot thing, dude. If you bring him in as a buyout guy, he can be a good locker room guy. And if Marcus finally like won a championship in Boston, even if he didn't play or wasn't an impactful
Yeah, that
player,
would be
like
sick.
it
That
would
would be
be
sick.
fucking sick. All right,
I'm a
last
little worried in terms of butting heads with the coach. That's all. But
that's fine.
you're kind of selling me on it, I will say.
Last team we didn't mention. Somehow I only gave four winners, but the Spurs won. They brought in
Yeah, I
De'Aaron
mentioned them.
Fox. They spark their dynasty with Wemby.
Well, they
So,
also just now can get Cooper Flagg potentially, so
oh my
it's just
God, yeah, because of the freaking Hawks.
Yeah, so that was we mentioned them early because they just, God, they're good. And De'Aaron last night showed what the potential is, and yeah, it's just it was crazy. So that's gonna do it for us here at the couch. Please like and subscribe. Give us 5-star ratings if you're listening. Give us a good comment or a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. We have a bunch of content coming out all the time now, so check the link tree in our description to find all that stuff. We have Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, TikToks, whatever you want, we got it. What an absolutely crazy trade deadline. The craziest of all time for sure. And I had a great time covering it. We are going to be back next week, maybe a little bit later in the week, because I'm moving to Sunday to North Carolina. So got a little personal stuff going on. But then we should be good to go around middle of the week. So stay tuned for that. If there is any other craziness that happens, I don't think there will be, but we'll do an emergency pod if needed. But we figured we'd give you two pods this week to make up for the later in the week pod next week. But yes, as always, thank you all for listening. We love you all and peace.